Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello. Before we get to the latest episode of Think Inclusive, I want to tell you about another show I think you'll enjoy. I'm Diana Pastora Carson, and I'm the host of Beyond Awareness, Disability Awareness That Matters. It's a podcast for special education and general education teachers, for parents, and for community members who want to promote disability awareness from a progressive, research-based, dignifying, inclusive social justice lens. You can find it wherever you listen to podcasts or at gobeyondawareness.com/podcasts. Okay, let's get ready for the podcast for inclusionists. Think Inclusive, brought to you by MCIE.
From MCIE.
For the last 30 years, there has been a movement going on, one you may not know a lot about or the origins of. It's the neurodiversity movement, and our guest Ira Idle wants to share with you what he's learned about it. Ira is the curator of Autistic Archive, a collection of video lessons about the history of the neurodiversity movement, links to websites created by autistics for autistics, and recommended books written by people on the autism spectrum, among other resources. My name is Tim Villegas, and you are listening to the Think Inclusive podcast presented by MCIE. This podcast exists to build bridges between families, educators, and disability rights advocates to create a shared understanding of inclusive education and what inclusion looks like in the real world. To find out more about who we are and what we do, check us out at thinkinclusive.us or on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Before we jump into our interview with Ira, I wanted you to meet a friend of mine.
My name is Brian Nance. I'm 37 years old, and I have very minor Asperger's.
Brian and I met when I was having coffee with a friend and inclusion advocate at a local coffee shop called Circle of Friends in Woodstock, Georgia. Now, Circle of Friends employs people with and without disabilities to work together, and there are a number of coffee shops like this in the area. One of them is very close to me. It's called Independent Grounds in Kennesaw. Brian works for both coffee houses.
I work here at Independent Grounds as a barista and a janitor.
Before his current jobs, Brian felt stuck doing work that didn't have much meaning for him at Independent Grounds.
I get to make friends. I get just a little time to myself and I get to meet and help other people.
And now that he has meaningful work, Brian says it's helped improve his quality of life.
I've always enjoyed working here because I've got my boss that is a really, really nice boss. And then I've actually improved in certain skills.
Like what?
I've actually improved in like my social skills, my behavior skills, and some other things. You know, though I still have some problems at home, I actually think I've improved in other places.
Brian didn't want to get into specifics, but previously, when he was in school as well as an adult, he was segregated into disability-only spaces.
I mean, before, I used to have some problems back in the past, but we won't talk about them.
But now, he loves working, and he loves his boss.
I feel like Laura and my other boss I've known for a while, but I feel like there's something special with Laura that makes me feel right at home.
But he's not satisfied. When I asked him about what his goals and dreams were for his life, he couldn't wait to talk about them.
Here we go. This is a good one. My goals and dreams are to at least try to get my driver's license or at least a learner's permit. That way so I could go drive around and be more independent. My mom and stepdad are getting old, and yes, I did say old, and I would like them to retire and at least let me go out on my own and give them time to relax. I actually have a lot of life left in me, and I don't want to waste it.
On the wall of Independent Grounds, there's a sign that reads, "Inclusion matters." I asked Brian what that phrase meant to him.
I feel like everyone should get along and not look at everything as a negative. But if you know that there's a good person out there that can share good ideas and stuff, no matter if they're missing a part or something, or don't look right, they should. There's still a person too, right? And they should be included.
If you are ever in the Kennesaw, Georgia area, stop by Independent Grounds on the side of the Bixby Student Apartment Complex near Kennesaw State University. They've got some great coffee, and you just might run into Brian. I'm sure he'd love to chat. I'm so glad you're here. Thanks for listening, subscribing, and rating us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. And now, our interview with Ira Idle. Today on the Think Inclusive podcast, we have Ira Idle, who is from Decatur, Georgia. He is an autistic person who was diagnosed at a young age. Ira holds a bachelor's degree in theater and performance studies at Kennesaw State University. Ira was a cohort of the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network's 2020 Autism Campus Inclusion. He started a student organization on his campus called Neurodivergent Advocates of Kennesaw that he led for a year. Ira has also done undergraduate research on disability and performance, which he presented at the 2021 National Conference on Undergraduate Research. More recently, Ira has been working on an archive of the neurodiversity movement known as Autistic Archive, and is currently an intern at the Hirsch Academy in Decatur. In his free time, Ira likes to play video games, rest in his bed, spend time with his dogs, and browse the internet. Ira is a staunch proponent of the neurodiversity movement and believes that nobody is too disabled to live an autonomous life. Ira, welcome to the Think Inclusive podcast.
Hello.
Hello. I'm really excited for you to be here. You live in the same state as me, which is great. I guess we first connected over social media, or at least I recognize your name and kind of like your comments and stuff like that. And then, you went to Tash. I saw you at Tash.
Yeah, I did go to Tash.
And then I saw that you had created this thing called the Autistic Archive. And
yeah,
that is what I kind of dove into that, and I said, this resource is fantastic. I need to have him on the podcast to tell people about it. So would you just introduce yourself? I know I just read your bio, but would you kind of introduce yourself to our audience of educators?
Yeah, sure. So I've been involved in the realm of self-advocacy for about 3 years now. I started out by working with some local organizations, and then I moved to doing some stuff online. Now I've kind of moved back to doing stuff locally and online too, I guess. I mainly got my start with a local ASAN affiliate group, Autistic Self-Advocacy Atlanta, and then I just branched out from there to other things. I've kind of been jumping between different things because I'm so new to this. I'm relatively new to this. And I think it's mainly because I was finding what exactly my niche was in this field of self-advocacy. And I think the archive is at least a step towards me finding what exactly that is.
I would say because I don't think there's anything like it.
Well, there have been, just nothing like that's current. I'll get to that in a bit.
Okay. Well, why don't you explain to our audience what is the archive, and then we can kind of dive in from there.
Certainly. So Autistic Archive is a collection of materials related to the history of the neurodiversity movement. It includes websites, forums, graphics, videos, audio files, articles, among other things. I think it's necessary because the neurodiversity movement has been around for about 30 years now, and much of that history isn't widely known. I think a lot of people assume that it's only been around for maybe 10. There have been other archives. So this is what I was alluding to. So there have been other archives, particularly, and I listed them under websites on Autistic Archive. I listed a few that weren't autism specific, but had some autism stuff in them, like Mouth Magazine and a Ragged Edge, which are both really great resources. But there was one in particular called neurodiversity.com that was maintained by a woman named Kathleen Seidel, who I believe was a parent of an autistic person. I don't think she was autistic herself, but she was very involved in like the community and everything. Her archive focuses a lot more on the science-y side of things than mine does. I really wanted to showcase the autistic side of the history and the history of the autistic community and autistic self-advocacy and the neurodiversity movement specifically. And there is that kind of stuff on there. But also the website hasn't been updated since 2008. And I think because of that, there are a lot of links that are on there, that a lot of broken links. But it also, a lot has happened since 2008. I was in like third, fourth grade in 2008, and now I'm out of college. So, you know, clearly that's quite a passage of time right there. I think there also needs to be better education about this movement's history, because there tends to be a lot of misinformation about it, as well as people repeating past mistakes. I don't think that's all because they don't know the history, but I think some of it at least is. The way I started with this was I found this website on Web Archive, and it can only be accessed on Web Archive. It's called autistics.org. The main two people who were in charge of it were Mel Baggs and Laura Tasonchek. I started a Google Doc, and I went down the line. They had a lot of other resources that led to other websites. So I just started putting the links to all that stuff in several Google documents. And then I moved them to a Google Drive folder and called it Autistic Archive. And then the project began in earnest once I decided to move it all to Google Sites to make it a website. That took like a month or so of work to like get it to be ready to launch. Once it was ready to launch, I sent it out to several people, including a private group of ACI alums. I got a lot of compliments on it. People were very pleased with it. In particular, Julia Bascom, the executive director of ACI, messaged me and said that this was a great labor of love, which I didn't even really think of it that way until then. But yeah, I guess it is. I mean, I do love the neurodiversity movement with all of its ups and downs. I think I just thought of it as this needed to be made. I'm interested in this stuff. Let's get to work.
I am slightly familiar with some of the resources and websites that are on the site, but a lot of them I just had never heard of. So I think that Autistic Archive is an incredibly important and valuable resource for people to understand the movement. So I think you know kind of where like we are coming from as far as like Think Inclusive and inclusive education and stuff like that. But one of the criticisms of this idea of inclusive education and people being educated together is that students in particular, K-12, that there is some value with autistic only spaces or spaces that are, you know, designed for people with autism. So I just wanted to know your thoughts about that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Like I think, yeah, it all depends on who's in charge, as the late Roland Johnson would say. Well, who's in control. He was involved with self-advocates being empowered. And he was a survivor of institutionalization. And he gave this really powerful speech in the 90s about like, who is in control? Is staff in control or are you in control? And I think really that's like a very important principle to this. Like because you can have autistic and disabled people involved with something, but if they're not truly in charge, if they're not in the driver's seat, then is it really meaningful involvement? I think the things like Aspergia go way to the extreme where it's like we should have our own country or whatever, you know, or just where it gets into the homogenous. The like homogenous society kind of thing or whatever, like utopia. I don't think for the most part that's what people want, you know. I think what you mentioned is more along the lines of what people want, or even if something is a school per se, is like made specifically for a certain population, if it's by that population, it's completely different. You know, like Gallaudet University is not the same as an oralist school for the deaf.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's value in having both, you know, inclusive general ed and things like Gallaudet, and really the Hirsch Academy, which you mentioned.
Right.
Since that was in my bio. That's what I would say about that. All depends on who's in control.
Right. And I guess I would say also if it's truly a choice, right?
And that too.
And at least from our perspective, the majority of times students are separated or segregated, it's not by choice.
Because like it's the best the school could do for them.
So as you have been doing this work, recording history of the neurodiversity movement, has there anything that you've uncovered that has really surprised you?
Quite a few things have. So when I look back at the old discussion forums and the blogs, I see that the way people in the movement talk about things has certainly changed, but it's also fundamentally stayed the same. And I guess like 30 years isn't like that long. But I think even like 30 years later, a lot of the neurodiversity movement will have a lot of the same core principles and central conflicts. So those being, who are the ultimate experts on autism? What causes autism? Is that even important? What things are respectful to say about autistic people and what aren't, and what kinds of service provision are the most appropriate? I think the content on autistics.org has aged better than most of what you'll find on the archive. And it's also like one of the oldest things on there. So it's really, I think a lot of it has to do with Mel. I don't know how much you know about Mel, but Mel Baggs was an excellent advocate and was just an all around amazing person, at least from what I know. I didn't personally know Mel, but from what I know, C was just like brilliant and just had, was an excellent writer in particular. Now there is plenty of history leading up to autistics.org. I think like the place to start when you're talking about the history of the neurodiversity movement is the history of Autism Network International and AUTRI, because that's when it really got off its legs. And that's definitely where you should start. But after that, I'd say autistics.org is like a good second step, I guess. There are plenty of things I've found that have both fascinated and disturbed me in about equal amounts. A lot of the more disturbing stuff I've purposefully kept off the website, though I certainly want to find a way to discuss it, especially with a critical lens. Kind of like, that's kind of why I've done the videos, so I can, I talk about things like Asperger, but I also talk about Wrong Planet, and just like other things that I don't necessarily have on my site. But I still like want to discuss, because like it's important to talk about what went wrong here. Or Wrong Planet's still, you know, still active. So like what's going wrong? And you know, why is this problematic? What can we learn from this? And that's like really the central thing that comes with the video lessons, like what happened, what went well, what didn't, what can we learn from this?
Mm-hmm.
And what does this say about the history of the movement?
So what I'm hearing is that there are parts of the neurodiversity movement that are problematic and continue to be.
Yes.
And you want to be able to, I guess, talk about those things without promoting them. Something that I learned watching the videos was about the email, the listservs.
Yeah.
So I'm, I was in college in the early 2000, well, late 90s.
Oh, okay.
So I remember listservs as it was something, you know, that I participated in. I wasn't huge into it, but you know.
Oh, okay.
But I, you know, they were part of like my digestion of information, right? So, yeah. You highlighted some listservs that were early on, even before like the internet and forums were really a thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like ANIL, the St. John's Autism Listserv, which ANIL was created because several autistic people, including Jim Sinclair, it was autistic people and cousins, so people who like had similar disabilities but weren't exactly autistic. They'd also just call them ACs. A lot of them didn't feel like they were really being respected on that list. In fact, there was something called the Snore Wars, where Jim Sinclair playfully, I actually found this guy on Facebook named Stephen Drake. They had a playful conversation about how Stephen was snoring at a conference. Like, I think they stayed in the same hotel room overnight, and like Jim made fun of Stephen snoring, and then they just like had a playful conversation about snoring. I think like they talked about llamas a little bit, and then that became an in joke with ANI. And that also because a lot of the members had an interest in llamas, but they were just like having fun or whatever. And there were one of the parents who ran the forums was like, "You're wasting bandwidth," which is like wild to think about nowadays. Is that definitely wouldn't waste bandwidth now, but right. I know it was llama limited back then. And I think there were just other incidents where they just felt like they weren't really respected. So they're like, we're going to make our own list. And I think, I forget what server it was on initially, but it was after a year or two, it was moved to Syracuse University. And I actually tried getting access to that, but it wasn't successful because I found a bunch of listservs that Syracuse University had, but it sounds like I have to have been there to be able to access it. Mm. So if I ever do, oh my goodness, that's going to be a treasure trove in and of itself, because I'm sure ANIL is like one of the really early ones. So I'm sure like that's going to be a gold mine of like of information and everything, really.
Well, you know, let me take this opportunity that whoever is listening, because I bet you somebody from Syracuse listens or has listened to this podcast.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Anyone with information that could help the Autistic Archive and Ira collect this information, that would be great. And you can, at the end of the podcast, we'll make sure you give all the information, how people can get a hold of you to help you with this project. As you know, a lot of our audience are educators. So general ed teachers, special education teachers, principals, district administrators. What would you want educators to know about the neurodiversity movement?
Yeah, so I want them to know that it's been around for a while, probably much longer than most assume. A lot about what educators and people in general have been told about the movement's history is likely either inaccurate or just limited. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. That's just how it is. That's kind of why the archive's here. I've done a lot of research into this, but I'm by no means the ultimate authority on it. Nor can I give you the most authentic perspective. I'm 24 years old. When most of the early stuff was happening, I was either not born yet or a baby. And the good news is most of the OGs of the movement are still around, and you can ask them for direct recollection of things that are on there that I've talked about. I'm simply a curator of history. But you know, as neurodiversity and disability rights have stressed time and time again, nothing beats lived experience.
Hmm. What lessons do you think an educator could take from learning this history?
I think they could take that, you know, autistic people, neurodivergent people. By the way, the word neurodivergent was coined by Kassiana Sasamas, who's one of the oldies in this movement, and she's still pretty active on social media. So anyway, that you know, we're capable of organizing our own things, and I think we're just as good at it as non-autistic people are, honestly. And you know, there have been moments of victory and celebration. There have also been things that went wrong, and I don't think it really says anything about our condition or disability. I think it just has more to do with that everything that's happened in this movement's history is just human nature. Hmm. And of course it has a very particular look to it because autistic people, neurodivergent people have been at the helm of it. But at the same time, like every kind of human thing has, you know, has happened between us, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't think we're, in that regard, I don't think we're that exceptional. I think we just happen to have a particular brain wiring.
So let's say
let's say IRA, the Autistic Archive can, like, you could do anything you want with it. Like, what would be your goal and dream for the archive?
I'm hoping to eventually teach a class on this, probably an elective at a university. The videos I've made under lessons are laying the framework for that. And I've got like a whole curriculum, quote unquote, laid out, which is really just the stuff that I'm going to go over in the videos. But if this were a class, would be the curriculum. I've already done a little bit of teaching the students at Hirsch Academy about this, and I hope to present it to more people because I'm very I really want to talk to people about this. I just think it's super interesting. I also hope for the site to grow and to perhaps move it to a more formal host. I think Google Sites is fine and it's free, but it's also not like, it's not the most robust web building system. There are less robust ones out there. Regardless, I very much intend for Autistic Archive to be a long-term project.
Awesome. Well, yes. So if you're listening and you are thinking this resource is as fantastic as we do, please contact Ira and let him know how you can help him with the Autistic Archive. And so, Ira, why don't you drop in your contact information and how people can get a hold of you?
Yes. Yeah, so I believe there's a contact me tab on the website that has my personal email that I've had since I was 12. It's very obvious that a 12-year-old came up with it. But a more formal email is iraidle@gmail.com. I'm on LinkedIn. You can message me there. I have social media. So like any social media you can find me on, feel free to message me there. Or at me on Twitter, at @idle_ira. I'm completely fine with whatever way you want to contact me about this. Just reach out to me in whatever way you'd like to.
Awesome.
Even reach out if you want to, you know, write it on a scroll, put in a bottle, ship it to me. Yeah, feel free to do that too.
Send it by owl.
Yeah.
Well, Ira Idle, it was a pleasure having you on the Think Inclusive podcast. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
That will do it for this episode of the Think Inclusive podcast. Subscribe to the Think Inclusive podcast via Apple Podcasts, the Anchor app, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Have a question or comment? Email us your feedback at podcasts@thinkinclusive.us. We love to know that you're listening. Thank you to patrons Veronica E., Sonia A., Pamela P., Mark C., Kathy B., Kathleen T., and Jarrett T. for their continued support of the podcast. When you become a patron, your contribution helps us with the cost of audio production, transcription, and promotion of the Think Inclusive podcast. And you could even get a shout out like the fine people we just mentioned. Go to patreon.com/thinkinclusivepodcast to become a patron today and get access to all our unedited interviews, including the conversations you heard today. Thank you for helping us equip more people to promote and sustain inclusive education. This podcast is a production of MCIE, where we envision a society where neighborhood schools welcome all learners and create the foundation for inclusive communities. Learn more at mcie.org. We will be back with another Think Inclusive episode in a couple of weeks, and look out for more editions of the weekly-ish and bonus editions in the meantime. Thanks for your time and attention, and for listening. Until next time, remember, inclusion always works.
Hold up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.